It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. Glad you were able to join us today. Well, we have the second session in our discussion of creation and evolution with my friend Jay Siegert. If you don't know who Jay is, you need to go back and listen to the podcast from last week. We had a great discussion about the authority of Scripture and really didn't talk a whole lot about creation evolution to begin with, because the authority of Scripture is really the point. It's really the key, and that's something I learned in discussing this with Jay. And Jay, are you there on the line with me?
Yes, I am, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. Why don't you start by just telling the folks a little about your ministry and yourself, and then we'll get right into this second session on evolution and creation.
Sure. My background, again, in a nutshell, is raised in a Christian home and attended public school all the way through high school, and I had accepted Christ as my Savior when I was in early grade school years. And when I graduated from high school, went to a Christian college to study mechanical engineering, but partway through became more interested in physics, and then switched to a state university in Wisconsin where I live and get my degree in physics. And again, that's when my world changed quite a bit, going from that small Christian college to a large state university where my professors at the state university were telling me, in essence, that everything I believed was wrong. And it shook me a fair amount, because I realized, probably for the first time in my life, that although I knew what I believed, I really didn't know why. I really didn't have reasons, and I assumed that my professors had a lot of evidence for what it was that they believed. So God put it on my heart at that point in my life to start looking into these things. You know, how do I know that God exists? How do I know the Bible is the inspired Word of God? How do I know the creation account is scientifically valid, and many other things? So that's where I got my start. That was about 26 years ago. Been speaking ever since, and about 5 years ago, I founded the Creation Education Center. And now I've been in full time with that for the past 5 years.
Well, that's terrific, and I'm so glad that you founded the Creation Education Center, because of the work you're doing. You have a terrific website, and I want to give that to folks right now so they can begin to look at your site. That's CECWISC.com. CEC, Creation Education Center, WISC, that stands for Wisconsin, CECWISC.com. And that's where you'll find Jay Siegert. You can also reach him at 262-227-5636. That's 262-227-5636 if you prefer a telephone call. And you know, Jay, I tell you what, your background, holding degrees in both physics and engineering technology, this is so important that we have guys like you who have been through the secular educational world, gotten the degrees, and then seen the need to speak up about creation and evolution. And folks, I want to just comment, Jay has written a terrific book. It's called Let There Be Light, and it's an easy read for such a hard topic. It's a book that every home, I believe, needs to have to refer to, and even more so, your Foundations in Creation DVD set, which is 12 30-minute lessons. That's 12 30-minute lessons that deal with all the different aspects, all the different questions that are going to come out concerning creation and evolution, and both those products are available at our website at ericbarger.com, and when folks purchase those from us, it helps to keep us on the radio. It helps pay the bills so that we can continue to bring these messages to you every week. And so, again, Let There Be Light, the book, and Foundations in Creation, you'll find those at our website. We certainly want you to use Jay's website as a resource center as well. It's someplace you're going to want to mark in your favorites, that's for sure. Well, Jay, we want to get into creation versus evolution, the case from science today. And this is what you wrote. You said the general public is under the impression that evolution is supported by numerous lines of evidence for all areas of science. And I think that's kind of a misconception. Do you want to speak to that right away?
Sure. That, again, is an assumption. Most people just assume that scientists have somehow proven evolution, and it's just a fact, and they also perceive science as being very black and white, and you really can't argue with it. It is what it is. On the other hand, they believe the Bible. You know, it's a little more flexible because it deals with faith, and we can interpret it many different ways, and so they just assume that you maybe have to accept evolution because that's what the scientists are telling us, and we'll just kind of somehow fit it into the Bible. And so I think discussing the scientific evidence is really fascinating and interesting. But in my 26 years of speaking and dealing with this controversy, one thing that I've learned probably more than anything else is that this really isn't an academic issue or an academic debate. It's really not about the facts and science. It's really more of a spiritual issue. So just sharing facts with people doesn't necessarily change your mind. In fact, it's pretty rare that the facts actually change someone's mind. It's more of a heart issue to begin with. But it's also nice to know that there's an awful lot of science that does back up what Scripture has been telling us about creation.
Well, last week I think we made it clear that we're not anti-science. That's not the issue. But sometimes we see the straw man saying, well, it's not scientific to believe something besides evolution. The six-day creation doesn't match up with science. We hear this all the time from the skeptics or from those who are trying to somehow demote the Scriptures. Maybe I think a good place to go here, and I know there's so many different directions we could go, but what do you mean when you use the word evolution? Give us a definition.
Evolution is used, the word is used in so many different ways. That's why it's important for anyone who's discussing this to make sure they get it defined between themselves and the person they're talking with, because typically people see evolution as being equivalent to change. So when a Christian says that they don't believe in evolution, the skeptic would think, what, you don't believe in change? I mean, come on, we see change all the time, so how can you reject that? And so we need to really define a little bit further. And when I use the word evolution, I'm specifically talking about molecules to man evolution. I use that phrase, and I encourage other people to use it as well, meaning that molecules or chemicals, non-living chemicals, got together to form a living cell, which then eventually changed and evolved all the way into a human being over maybe 4 billion-year period. So that's the kind of change that I don't believe in. I don't believe that there's any scientific evidence for that whatsoever.
Yeah.
However, we do certainly see change.
Yeah, we certainly do. You know, that whole idea of evolution to me, and this is what from simply the layman's viewpoint that I've had, and honestly, this whole debate that has raged for so long, even though I've read some things on it and certainly have spoken about it a little bit, and I believe with all of my heart in what the Scripture says from cover to cover. I know you believe the same way, but it has seemed like a black hole to me. So even the program we did last week, and in reading your book and watching your DVDs, it is so much is so helped me to get a better grip on this that I'll be more effective in my own ministry in my life after just this short time, the sessions I've had in speaking with you, both in person at a conference we were at recently, and also just watching your material and reading your material. It has helped me. So I think the Christian world out there basically is in just kind of a conundrum about this. They're not sure what to say about it, and a lot of people, you know, they try to meld, and I think we'll get into this at some point, either this week or in the next program, because we will do another program next week. But they try to meld the Bible together with evolution. And you got to maybe answer this question, I think, right up front. Is evolution compatible with the Bible?
Well, I actually believe that evolution is very compatible with religion, but not with Christianity. And I think there's a difference there. My opinion is that religion is man's idea of God, but I believe that the Bible or Christianity is actually God's idea of God. And there's a whole other talk you could go into about evidences of the inspiration of the Bible. But I believe that religion in general, belief that there is a God, that has no problem with evolution, because then you can just say there is a God, he used evolution, it doesn't matter how it happened or when it happened. But when you specifically study Scripture, you quickly see that it is incompatible with what evolution teaches. In fact, just to begin with, when they're teaching evolution in the public school system and in the universities, they're never saying, well, okay, maybe God did this here, but then everything was natural for a while, and then God stepped in and helped out here, and then it was natural. They're coming up with natural explanations all along the way. So to put God into that really doesn't make sense to begin with. But there are many other incompatibilities as well with the idea of evolution. The idea of evolution talks about death and disease and mutations and suffering going on for millions and millions of years as, you know, creatures are growing and evolving. Eventually man shows up, but the Bible says very clearly, like Romans 5:12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that it was Adam's sin that brought death into God's world. But evolution would say, no, death was here for millions and millions and millions of years here before Adam was even on the planet. So that's a problem. Evolution teaches that the sun evolved first, and then millions of years later there was an earth. But the Bible tells us that God created the earth first and then created the sun later, and many other events are out of whack if we try to squeeze evolution into the Bible, and that's just kind of scratching the surface there.
I think to try to remove God from his creation is to say that he didn't superintend over things and just kind of left us on our own, and that doesn't reflect the God of the Bible, that's for sure. And I've always said it takes more faith to believe in evolution, the idea that we somehow crawled out of a swamp and became who we are as humans, than to believe that there's a God who created us. That's a bigger step of faith, in my opinion, than to believe in the Bible, that's for sure. Well,
definitely.
Let's talk about the origin of the universe a little bit, and what are the options regarding the origin of the universe?
Well, there are basically three options. Number one is we could say that it's just always existed. That way we can avoid talking about a beginning, because if you have a beginning, it kind of necessitates a beginner, and a lot of people don't like that, so they might want to believe it's just always been here. You don't need to explain its origin. Second one would be that it actually created itself. A third one would be that it was created by something or someone outside of itself. And if we look at each of those very, very briefly, many scientists used to believe that the universe has always existed, not because of any evidence, but because they wanted to avoid a creator or a beginning, so they just said it's always been here. But with advancements of science, we see very clearly that, no, the universe could not have always been around. It did have a beginning, so now they've kind of had to throw that one out. The second option, that it created itself, that's a logical fallacy. Just by definition, something cannot create itself, because it would have to exist first to be able to do anything. But if it already exists, it doesn't need to create itself. So most people can understand that that's not a valid option. The third one, the only one really left, is that the universe was created by something or someone outside of itself. And again, I think that's what the Bible teaches us.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the common words used in the culture is intelligent design when that's being discussed. Okay, so tell us, what about the Big Bang? Where does this come in? Because we hear this, we see it in textbooks, we see it talked of as if it was fact in our educational community. Talk about that.
Sure, the Big Bang is also one of those concepts that people just kind of take for granted. Apparently that's how the universe began, in a Big Bang, and most people envision it as this huge, massive explosion and throwing stuff out into space, forming the universe. And even many scientists believe that, particularly the scientists who aren't really studying it, but that's a misconception. The scientists who are really actually studying the origin of the universe tell us what the Big Bang actually represents is that everything in the current universe in the past was squished down into a single point, maybe the size of a period on a page, or more likely the size of an electron, or even smaller. So everything squished down into a single point. And that point was not sitting there in space, because space didn't exist yet. And it wasn't sitting there in time, because they say time didn't exist yet. So it's just this oddity. They call it a singularity, something that doesn't play well with the known laws of physics. And it's also what they call a thermodynamic dead end. It's stuck. It's not going anywhere. And they say the Big Bang is the event that got it unstuck. And it started expanding this speck. And as it expanded, it was actually creating space. And as it expanded, it was actually creating time. Again, there's nothing in the known laws of physics today that would support that, but that's what the Big Bang represents.
It seems to me like science is, for the sake of wanting to disavow God, really depending on a lot of accidents.
Yes, one accident after another, because they can never really introduce any kind of direction or purpose to it. Everything is just kind of accidental motions. Eventually they have particles that come out of energy, and then the particles interact in a certain way to form stars, and then planets, and then chemicals form life, and then life gets more complex, and eventually here we are, and we're looking back on it, and we supposedly can explain the origin of pretty much everything with our minds, although our minds supposedly evolved through accidental processes of particles just kind of banging into each other, ultimately, if you're not going to involve God whatsoever.
Jay, I'm of the opinion that the people in theological institutions who try to integrate evolution ideas into the scriptures and try to make the two live side by side, they're probably the people doing the most damage, first of all, to the cause of Christ, to those in the church, and then, of course, to the Word of God. What's your take on this?
Well, it can happen, and I think some of it happens innocently, and we don't have time for all the details, but for most of history, people believe the universe was relatively young, and when they read the Bible, it sounded like God created everything in 6 days, and then sometime just before Darwin, a couple other men started writing about different ideas that, well, maybe the Earth formed naturally on its own, and if those layers formed naturally, that would take, they at that time they said, millions of years. And what was interesting, the phenomena that occurred is that the scientists who were Christians back then saw their work and said, this isn't good science. We don't have to worry about these new theories. But the Christians who were theologians got kind of nervous thinking, oh, this must be good science. We're going to have to take these new theories and fit it into Scripture somehow. So they came up with gap theory and the day-age theory, trying to fit the millions and billions of years into Scripture. And I think some of them did it very sincerely, but they really had to distort Scripture in order to do so. And we're kind of living in the remnants of that today, that most people just figure, well, you can fit the Big Bang in the Bible and evolution and whatever you need to because it's flexible, and they're just assuming that everything any scientist ever says is fact, and you can't argue with that.
Yeah, I believe that, and I believe this for a long time, that those in theological institutions who want to take the Bible apart to make it beholden to science instead of the other way around. See, I believe everything should go through the strainer of the Scriptures to see if it matches up to what God has said to us. And either the Scriptures are true or they're not, and if we begin to take the Scriptures apart, really what we end up doing, because Jesus so heavily depended on the Old Testament passages and Scriptures, and so many of the very controversial points of the Old Testament, such as Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood, and of course Noah, Jonah, etc. You know, when Jesus talks of those things, and we start saying, well, that couldn't have happened like this because of what science says, in essence, what we end up doing is saying Jesus was mistaken, and if he was, then he couldn't have been the Savior. So you see how this unfolds, folks, when you begin to go down this road. If you're not careful, that's where you end up. And in fact, even trying to be careful, that's where you end up if you start taking the Scriptures apart. Jay, right along these same lines, I want you to comment on theistic evolution, if you would.
Sure. You know, theistic evolution is a concept that's been around for a long, long time. And it seems on the surface to be a very quaint, simple solution. End the argument right away. You've got on one hand atheistic scientists saying there is no God, everything's an accident. On the other hand, you've got people saying, no, there is a God and everything happened just the way the Bible said it and science is wrong. And then you got most people in the middle saying, hey, I don't know why you guys are arguing. I believe in God, but I also believe in evolution. God could use that. End of story, case closed. And why are you guys even making an issue out of this? So, it seems like the simplest solution on the surface, then you can be tolerant of everyone's views and you just put them together and don't have to worry about any details. And again, most people who believe that, I think, are doing that pretty sincerely. But the problem is, if you really start to study those things in depth, you start to see problems, that there really aren't good, solid scientific evidences for evolution. And when you start to study Scripture, you see it's not as flexible as you might think it might be on the surface when you actually start looking at the words that are there in the context, and in Genesis being written as a historical narrative. You see there are a lot of consequential problems that creep in when you start to try to squeeze things like evolution into the Bible. So, and again, most people just really haven't taken the time to do that. And I think if they did, they might see that, oh, you know what, maybe that isn't the best solution.
You know, you mentioned the day-age theory, and I don't want to go too far down there, but I want you to define that for folks. I've heard that several times and heard it defined different ways. And we got about 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes here in the interview left, and we have a lot of ground still to cover. So, but touch on day-age for just a second. Give us a definition.
Sure. Day-age theory is a theory that came up trying to accommodate the supposedly newly found, you know, millions or billions of years that the scientists came up with quite a few years ago. And it basically says that, okay, maybe God did create in 6 days, but those days weren't regular days. Maybe each day was millions or billions of years long. That way we can still say God created in 6 days, but we can still have the millions and billions of years. And there are a number of problems with that. And I'd say very quickly, too, that the argument really isn't about the age of the earth. It really isn't about the length of each day of creation. I think that when you study Scripture seriously, those things actually kind of fall out as a natural consequence. You see, wow, those were really regular 24-hour solar-type days, and the earth really probably can't be billions of years old. But some people get caught up thinking that that's all we care about is the age of the earth, and if you don't believe it's young, then you can't be a Christian. So I just needed to throw that in there. But some just basic problems with this notion of the day-age theory, that the days aren't regular days. First of all, God defines this term when he used the first time he used the word day in Genesis, which is a yom, Y-O-M. He defined it. called the light day and he called the dark night. That sounds like a regular day. And then he also used the phrase evening and morning. There was an evening and a morning, day one, and evening and a morning, day two, and so on. And he was talking to the Hebrew people, and that's how they measured their day. Their day started in the evening, and then they had a morning after that, and then ended in the, before the next evening. So they literally had an evening and then a morning. And he's talking to them, saying there was an evening and a morning, day one, an evening and a morning, day two. So they would have very clearly understood that as being regular days. Thirdly, and maybe lastly, with the time that we have, anytime you see that word Yom outside of Genesis, when it has a number by it, the 17th day, the third day, or whatever, it's always clearly referring to a regular solar day. That's exactly what we see in Genesis. God says there was an evening and a morning, day one. An evening and a morning, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. So there's really no grammatical reason to call those things anything else than a solar day. But again, a lot of people would like to just try to accommodate, you know, evolution or at least the Big Bang or something like that when, again, if they looked at the science, they'd realize, wow, we really don't even need to do that.
Wow, that's great insight and really terrific explanation as well, Jay. Listen, I'm going to make the executive decision and ask you if we can just do two more weeks. That'll make four altogether on this because there is so much more to cover that I think is so valid, so needed. And for the sake of those who will listen to these podcasts that we're making, as well as those who listen live on the radio, I want to do a couple more weeks. And the next week, we're going to cover origin of life and origin of species. And I really don't think we can do that in 30 seconds. That's why I think we need just to take those and begin to look into those two issues and how that works along with the whole evolution creation controversy next week. And then the following week, we want to look at the 10 most asked questions about creation evolution. And that to me is really interesting stuff. And we don't want to shortcut that either. So Jay, if you can do it, we want to do two more weeks. Could you do that with me?
Sure, I'd love to.
Well, that'll be great, and I think we'll be able to cover this, and the podcast then will be on the internet for posterity, and folks will be able to get those and share those with others and really get this good nuts and bolts information in such an understandable way out to their friends. Folks, you're listening to Take a Stand Radio. This is your host, Eric Barger. My guest today is Jay Siegert of the Creation Education Center, CECWISC.com is Jay Siegert's website. Mine is ericbarger.com. I encourage you to go to our website at ericbarger.com and get Jay's book, Let There Be Light. It is a terrific resource. And just as much so, in fact, because we live in such a video generation with so many of our kids and teens that need answers about these things. His DVD series, Foundations in Creation, which is 12 30-minute sessions with a free study guide. We also have that available at ericbarger.com. And we appreciate all the hard work, the effort, the research, the time, and of course, the way the Lord has brought you into the ministry you're in today. This is such a valid ministry. And if anybody out there is looking for someone with a completely biblical worldview, a guy who believes in the Scripture from cover to cover and wants to defend exactly what the Scripture says and also comes from a scientific viewpoint, then you want to get a hold of Jay Siegert, bring him to your church, invite him to your conference, certainly get his materials and use those in your Bible study, your home group, or in your church setting. So I encourage you to get a hold of Jay. Once again, his website is CECWISC.com. Jay, I appreciate you being with me, and we'll do this again next week. Folks, I have a few seconds to remind you, go to our website at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244 to both order the materials you've heard about in the program today and also to request a free information pack. We'd love to send you one. We offer that to anybody who's not already in our database. Well, as I tell you each week, this ministry is brought to you on the radio by Take a Stand Ministries in Rowlett, Texas. We are funded completely by the gifts of our friends and our supporters. We appreciate you doing that. We need your help. We need you to get behind us and help us economically to make sure we can continue the radio ministry and besides that, to expand the radio ministry. We appreciate it. God bless you, folks. I'll see you next week.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exists to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand, challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
This is Eric Barger. Now that you've had just a taste of author and speaker Jay Siegert's teaching, I know you'll want to share Jay's terrific book, Let There Be Light, and his DVD series, Foundations in Creation, complete with study guide, with your friends and family, Bible study group, and church. The book will be a timeless resource defending the Bible's account of creation, and the 12 30-minute lesson DVD series makes the complicated understandable. Order Jay Siegert's book and his terrific DVD series today. Remember, your order helps to support the outreach of Take a Stand Radio. Visit ericbarger.com for our safe and secure online bookstore, or place your order by calling us at 214-289-5244. That's ericbarger.com or 214-289-5244 for your copies of Let There Be Light and Foundations in Creation. Do it today.